You know, we've all said it before, if I only knew then what I know now. And that's really at the heart of today's conversation. Joyce and I share 12 principles based on the work of Meg Wheatley that every leader should know, every OD practitioner should know about how to successfully navigate big change. And why does this conversation matter? We all know it, that most changes fall far short of the expectations that are set. So a lot is at risk, a lot is at stake in this conversation, particularly in today's world. So come on in, grab a snack, welcome.
Did I just say I'm ready?
You're ready, Joyce. Good morning.
Oh my gosh. People, I'm just back from Mexico, where I did a final act to close down a house that David and I lived in for 6 months of the year for 20 years, and found quite a bit of stuff missing. And it was very disappointing because we've never, ever, 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 ever had anything stolen or any problem. It's been just wholesome. And times are different.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll leave it with that. So there. So I'm happy to be functioning today because I was hit pretty hard. Okay, here's my thought for today. Two thoughts. One, I think we should record our getting ready. Sounds, it's so weird and funny.
They are so weird.
Yeah, it is. What did we talk
just
about
for
today?
Our listeners, we sang two songs that couldn't be more different in terms of genre. We did Lainey Wilson's Heart Like a Truck, and we did South Pacific's, what is it?
I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
So, yeah, no, we have to spare our listeners that. So, Joyce, what's your second idea?
I found a list of principles for organizational development in my folder, and I believe they were originally stated in a book by Meg Wheatley, who's my latest heroine. Are you supposed to, everybody says hero now and actors. Why don't we call all men actresses? Okay, that's my little aside. And they were written long ago.
Yep.
And I thought I'd share them one at a time and we could say, yep, we think that's true. Here's how that worked for us. Or I don't know about it.
I love being a judge. So let's jump in.
Okay. Here's the first one. Yeah. And keep me moving along because there are 12. Oh, I believe this one with my soul. Whatever the problem, community is the answer.
Oh my gosh.
I did community development in the Peace Corps and created community. In fact, that was my goal in my work, was to create a community within a business, not friends, certainly not lovers, but a community. So I'm 100% behind that statement.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, I'm in total agreement. I love how it's solution-based. So community is the answer. It's where the wisdom is. But so often in organizations, when they have big change coming, they see community as something to be either won over or persuaded or brought along. And so I find it's such an interesting perspective. And I guess these principles in one way are all perspectives about change.
Yeah, they are. And how did we create community?
Oh, gosh, I think we created a vessel, to use a metaphor. We created a vessel of time and space where conversations happen and dialogue happens.
And where, I want to underline, the right people were in the room to talk.
That's right. That's right. So often in a vacuum, whether it's communication department or HROD, they create all these messaging of the change. And, you know, it's a two-way dialogue. Love it.
And I'm going to go down to a different one that supports what you just said, in which I think is one of the biggest things goes wrong in companies.
Yeah.
Change
I can't wait to hear.
Happens. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Change happens through emergence, not any other process. Answers, the awareness of a problem, the design of what to do, what we would call co-creating.
Yeah.
We were always co-creating, and that doesn't mean two people talking. It means hundreds talking, and the more differences in the room, the better. That the right change will emerge if you haven't overburdened the system with a hidden solution or too tight a structure. I just love that.
I'm smiling because once I was in the front of the room and we were talking about a pretty significant change, not necessarily seen as being positive. And I got anxious with where the conversation was going. And a very wise OD practitioner, Bonnie, walks over to me and she said, trust, trust. And it just put me into a whole different mode, and it ended up being better than fine because the right solution did emerge. But I was controlling.
Hi, Bonnie. Yes. I had a group of 300 for 3 days that was going right.
Yeah.
I was going right down. I was so anxious. I couldn't figure out where to go next because it had just gotten sloppy, jump. I don't know what was going on. But I went and walked around a little area and came back after lunch and said, so obvious. I don't know where to go next. Where should we go next? Oh, and wonderful things happen. So change happens through emergence, not by any other process, not by giving change a title or a theme or posters. Let it emerge quietly. Your resistance, and you'll get a lot more ideas and what I call softening of the system.
Yes.
Ready for shifting. Okay, ready? Here's another.
Yep.
Diversity is a blessing, not a problem to be fixed.
Such a timeless value, but it seems in our society today, it's kind of gotten a black eye. But I agree. I totally agree. Having different voices, seeing differences, that is the answer.
Not following the patterns of society about things, but instead all kinds of differences, like, oh, the introverts are over here. I was with two introverts in Mexico, both young women, been at the table for quite a while, and noticed, because one was my granddaughter, and I think she's rude. The other girl was just quiet. But when we talked about the version, both of them said, no, we don't want to say anything. We just want to observe and listen. Yeah. We're having a good time. We just don't talk.
I think a big part of this principle is being very thoughtful and deliberate to make sure that you do have a nice blend of differences in the room. So there aren't any blind spots, and to be asking the question, is this the right group? What might be missing? I think it's so important to ask that question.
Diversity is a blessing, and I'm not going to go into how many things were solved because we brought people that didn't want to be in the room together and created community and created solutions. Okay, now here's one that goes with a couple. The leaders we need are already here. Is anyone willing to get engaged?
Yeah.
Leaders we need are already here. Look at that. Accepted that. Engagement occurred. Who knows? Where are you on those?
Well, so it makes me to something that both surprised me and made me proud. And what I'm thinking of is some big changes that I've been a part of, or a dramatic shift, like your company got bought. It's amazing who steps up and who steps forward. And so when I think the leadership is already there, sometimes it was the leaders that didn't step up, but others in the organization stepped up in a way that you're almost scratching your head. You couldn't have orchestrated it. So once again, it's kind of trusting, it will emerge. But yeah. I want to balk at one of these, but not this one.
I don't think I do either. Great. I mean, just listening to you, and I'm thinking of our early team. We were all new together, reporting to the senior VP of HR, and we were all very different. And I'm thinking of the guy that came with the program for us that had nothing but an empty folder. But maybe that's how we built the team. Okay, here's one I love and believe is true. All people are creative and will work tirelessly for what they care about.
I would say in there with you, I agree with this, but I don't see it demonstrated as often as it should.
No, it's really slack.
Yeah.
Because people are confused about what they care about. And also, caring takes energy.
Yes.
And we're at a real energy low.
Yeah.
This organizations.
Yeah, this one reminds me of things that we've talked about in the past. One in particular is that, you know, if you're in a situation, you have to trust in a way that if things aren't going the way that you want them to, or people aren't perhaps responding as you would like, the idea of look at yourself first, like, what am I doing or not doing that doesn't have this person either engaged or at full power? The potential is there.
And and we have low potential because we don't have engaged. We don't have enough energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Battery. This, I believe, people support what they create.
Absolutely.
A lot of large group creation. I mean, someday we'll talk about how we created our first vision.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with this one. Gosh, I want one that I don't agree with.
Well, let's see. You subversive person. To heal a living system, connect it more to more of itself, esoteric and scientific. True, because we tend to, and in what holds true for me there is bring together functions that fight, that pull against each other, that hate each other. Bring in the most surprising, in search conferences, you try to bring a representation in the organization. So the more connection among, the more healing. Went off in my own head thinking about some profound moments. Well, here's one, and we worked a lot on this, and I presented to the worldwide board, which is a living system is a learning system or else it dies. I remember making a model because everybody loves a good model.
Yes, they do.
System. And I took it into Moises, a Greek board member of Alpha Beta, and talked to him about it. And he said, "This looks like Taj Mahal."
I don't know if we can build this thing.
He said, "We don't need the Taj Mahal." First board presentation, so I was trying to build the model. And when I went to do my presentation, because I didn't know when I was on, because the guys all went out for dinner after a meeting, and I went to my hotel room and nobody told me when the meeting was going to start. So I wung it. I wung it by saying, "We're just going to practice learning."
Yeah, yeah, so the word that this principle brings up in me is that you have to be unrelenting. You have to always be, continual learning. I had a CEO that said, I always lived in this dream where I went through a tough time and then came around the corner and there was a bench that I could sit down and rest and just kind of check out. And he said, and that bench is never there. You know, there's always the next challenge. There's always the next opportunity. And you have to kind of rise up to the occasion, become a learning system.
And to include structural things that support that, which like I loved it in the middle of a meeting. There are some very simple things in the middle of a meeting to stop and say, we've talked about this before, what's needed to level of energy and engagement in this meeting?
Yeah.
And just such simple questions, but ask it in the middle so you learn and can shift.
Yeah. This also harkens back to a previous conversation where we talked about that organizations, organisms are in an ebb and flow, that there's this kind of process of over time that you're rising, you're, you know, perhaps going down the slippery slope. And so it's the idea that that, you know, you're in flux all the time, and there's going to be these dip points where you have to kind of rise up to the occasion.
Once again, of keeping the learning simple, so that when we had a meeting of top leaders at moments saying, get somebody you haven't yet spoken to, and then ask questions like, what do I do that supports this group? What behavior? To build the learning into the moment is much more powerful than 3 weeks later or 3 days later. So when you can make learning immediate action in the middle of.
Yeah. And how many organizations, looking back, became flabby, became resting on their laurels, looking at what they've accomplished in the past, and somehow have seemed to kind of gone into this state of, oh, things are going great. Meanwhile, the market is changing, they're losing market share, and they can't react because they've kind of gone and sat on that bench that I spoke about earlier, like the Kodaks of the world.
There is organizational denial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when you've been at the top, and it takes a humble leader. And, you know, our learning phrase was proud teacher, humble learner. Humble teacher, proud learner.
Proud learner, humble teacher.
That's right. I designed it. I can't remember. And you know that caught, that phrase caught.
Oh, it sure did.
And I want to say, according to these principles, we brought together an international group of diversity and hostility. And because to think together and create together, it created the impetus to an international HROD group. Some differences into the room the first time, you got to be brave.
You really do. Okay, Joyce, we've got a few more minutes, so let's get through this wonderful list. Listen, I'm the one that's doing most of the jibber jabbering.
Move it along, Joyce. I'm not jibber jabbering. I'm giving wisdom. Okay, the last two are great. Sense of humor is absolutely necessary.
Oh, amen. Amen.
We just did it. And this is true. Grace and joy can be present during sorrows.
Say that again.
Yeah, that's a little esoteric. Grace and joy are present, even times.
Yeah. I want to put it in a frame and hang it on the wall, because in those tough times, there are dark moments where I don't see that. But I want to believe it, but I don't see
right.
it.
But you don't. No, you don't. If it's brought in relationship and freedom of expression, I mean, I've seen it emerge.
Yeah. The word opportunity comes up, because even in the worst of times, to be able to step back and say, where's the potential upside in this? And as you say those words, you may grimace, but if you shift it, so where's the opportunity for us? Whether it be reinvigorate.
About my loss of all my beautiful things in Mexico that were stolen.
Yeah.
the bed for 3 days because I was so sad. There is a sense of, I'm so glad I'm beauty. I can remember that beauty.
It's That's right.
Just beginning to emerge. So it doesn't always have to be happy. Okay. Pick the one you like the best. If you can, you don't have the list in front of you.
Oh, I don't have this in front of me. I think number one was that it's all about community. That really resonates with me. And the last one, I mean, in the darkest moments, to be able to see the light is, like I said, I want to frame it and put it on a wall because I want it to be kind of my North Star, because there are going to be times when things aren't going great, or you get bad, or the organization is in decline. Where's the opportunity here?
I'll go off thinking about that, but the one I like the best and that I used fundamentally always in my work was change happens through emergence, not by any other process. Build a wave that's big through talking. The problem will suddenly get sharp and clear through an emergency, but the, change happens through emergence and can't be pushed. It has
Don't
to
emerge. Force it. Yeah. You can't force it.
So you till the soil, you make the conversations, you have the connections, and poof, suddenly.
So, Joyce, I want you to send me this list so I can put it in the...
you can't have this list. I don't know where I have it. That's
well, after you meet with Terry, our guest next week, you get a copy of that and send it to me. And I will
talk
get
about
it out
proud,
to our listeners.
Talk about proud learner listeners.
Well, I didn't want to call you out on that, but yeah, I mean, you felt like an embarrassed learner or a shame learner. No, proud. The fact that
I'm
you're willing to take that on,
because I am technologically goony, and I want to be patient enough that I can do what I want to do, and because of my husband being ill for a while, and because I did spend 6 months in Mexico, the world changed, people.
Yeah.
I'm still doing email. Like writing a formal treatise.
So, okay. Joyce, I'm going to end by demanding that you, as soon as you get off, and our listeners too, Google Heart Like a Truck and listen to it. Lainey Wilson, everybody.
Bye.
You know, if you enjoyed today's conversation, you're really going to like our next podcast. We have a guest, Terry Morgan, a friend of and colleague of Joyce and I at our time from Del Ace. And Terry Morgan, I would describe him, he wouldn't describe himself, as a transformational change champion. And what makes him unique is he has done it through the lens of a CEO, a CIO, and his expertise is really taking a look at systems and processes, particularly in the IT space, that drive not only change in an organization, but ultimately leads to transformational success in the marketplace. So join us next week, and until then, be well and be safe.